Svarno Parshas Beshalach. So the Parsha begins that Hashem did not take Klal Yisrael through Eretz Plishtim, because that would have been the easiest way to go. And the Svarno says actually that Derech Plishtim was the easiest way to get to the Yamsuf, not to Eretz Yisrael, to the Yamsuf. And Hashem didn't want to take them through that way because a lot of people lived there. So what? If a lot of people lived there, so then the news would get back quickly that Klal Yisrael was not returning. Everybody would be talking, and Klal Yisrael would hear from the hawk in the streets that the Mitzrayim were planning to wage war against them. And then, meaning, when it says Riyah, he says, and it really means Shmiah, they'll hear that Mitzrayim is coming to chase after them, then they'll for sure freak out and go want to run back to Mitzrayim. So therefore he took them in a out-of-the-way way, where there's nobody around, so that they wouldn't have that problem. It also says that Moshe took Atzmos Yosef, Ki Hashpeya Hashpeya Espinei Yisrael, because there was a swear on Klal Yisrael, and this Sfarno says that the Chiyuv Hador is Mutal Al Nasiyo. If there's an obligation on the whole generation, the person who's, it's his business to make sure it gets taken care of, is the leader. So Moshe had to take it. Okay, so they leave, and then Mitzrayim starts chasing after them. And then in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Ches, it says, Avnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah. So Rashi says it means with great kvura. You know, Par is racing after them, but they, Klal Yisrael, was running with going out with great kvura. The Sfarno actually says that they were going out with the Yad Ramah because they were not afraid of Mitzrayim's troops. Now the Sfarno is going to talk about the different groups of Mitzrayim that chased after them. So these were the elitists, we know, the Rechav Bahur, right? The best, the special forces over here. This was like the top of the army was in the front, and they were chasing after them. And Klal Yisrael had no fears because there were more of them than the special forces, like the chariots. They're like, okay, well, we totally outnumber them. And he says, this shows you how clueless they were about war, because they should have been much more afraid, because a couple of those, you know, a small army of well-trained people is worth a lot more than the whole group that would follow after, because the Sfarno says that there was different groups that chased after them, then there was the schleppers, basically, that came after the elite troops. And there were loads of those guys, but those are not so scary. But the cavalry, what Mitzrayim was known for, so that's not that many people, but it was those were the scary ones. And anyway, they were clueless. So that's what he said. B'nei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah, he says, because they were not afraid of the Mitzri troops, and that was because they didn't know much about war, he says. Okay, so therefore what happens next, it says, V'yudu v'mitzrayim achareim, and it was kol sus rechav paro farashav v'chilo, not just like the last pasuk, it said it was the shalishim al kulo, those are like the green berets and special forces. The regular chevra of the Egyptian army, those that came next, so that's kol sus rechav paro farashav. So that's like he was saying, they should have been afraid of the Shalishim. Instead, when they saw the huge numbers of Paro's general military, then they got scared. Because when it was called Susrech of Paro, then they were very afraid. And they said to Moshe, Mibling Kvarim B'Mitzrayim, that you took us to the Midbar to die. So the Sfarno explains that they meant to say with that even if the Egyptian army just kind of scares us and doesn't do anything, they're still sieging us, meaning they're still not letting us pass, and therefore we're between here and the sea. How are we going to get food? We're going to die in the Midbar. Okay, so then Moshe tells them to not be afraid. You'll see Yeshua Hashem. And then the pasuk says, "Vayemer Hashem Moshe, Matitzek Elai Deber B'nei Yisrael V'Yiso." So why Hashem says, Moshe, why are you calling out to me? Tell B'nei Yisrael to go. So the Sfarno explains what was Moshe davening about. It was not about what you would think, which is Klal Yisrael complaining about and scared about Paro coming to get them, because he just told them, don't be afraid. What he was afraid of was the sin. The fact that they said, I'm a B'li Ink V'rim B'Mitzrayim. So that was a shtickel chutzpah. He was, you know, ha'az as panim. And he thought, because of that they would not listen to him when he said, okay, now walk into the sea. But Hashem tells him, "You're a choshed b'ksherim. They're absolutely going to listen to you. Just don't matitzakalei. What are you calling to me? Tell them to go. They're going to go. They're not going to rebel against you." So the truth is, I don't know if he meant it as, I assumed it was a sin. It could be he doesn't. This one didn't mean that they sinned, just that since they had such a Azaz Panim to Moshe that they wasn't listening to him, and Hashem said, yes, they will. Okay, then he tells Moshe to stick up your staff over the sea, and that will bring the winds that will split the sea. And also it will dry up the floor. So this is part of the Sforno's explanation of all this, is that the seabed froze. So it is important to know that, like when you walk into, if you think about a sea, imagine you just took a sea and deleted all the water. What would it look like? So if you're going through the sea, you'd be like rappelling down a mountain, right? It's nice and shallow kind of at the beginning for the first 20 feet or so, and then at some point there's a drop. That's right, the sea gets very deep, and sometimes at some point in the sea there's a big drop. So if you just, let's imagine all the sea water split and there's like this huge gaping hole, so you'd go walking slowly down and then all of a sudden you'd be jumping off a ravine. So the bottom of the floor of the sea froze, so all the water froze in place. So that's how they did not have to rappel down a mountain. So the wind froze the floor of the ground, and so that's besides the water at the bottom, it's also the earth itself, because I mean it says they walked on Yabasha. So it got rid of all the everything froze, and when Moshe stuck his hand over the sea, it split. Okay, now this is an important one. In Perek Yedal and Pasuk Chaf Dalet, it says, "Vayashkev Hashem al Machane Mitzrayim b'mud esh ve'anan," which the Sforno says means that there were these two pillars, right, fire and cloud, that were with Klal Yisrael, that was making it dark for the Mitzrayim with the Anan and Esh for the Jews, and then they both went to the back, "Vayaham es Machane Mitzrayim," and it caused holy, he says, to Machane Mitzrayim. So he says, in all the Makos, nobody ever got sick, so to say, except for Shechin. He says, this was where they got sick. Remember, we talk about in the Psukim say, Chol Marvei Mitzrayim Harim, Lo Asim Alecha, and Hayad HaGedola, Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, and the Machlam, that you Asher Yagarta Mipneim, all these things, these sicknesses that was here at the Yamsuf, says the Sforno. Where Vayaham is a lesson of sicknesses. They all got sick with stuff. So what exactly happened to them, he doesn't say, but it was some kind of sickness. And of course we know the Pasuk says their chariots, because of the fire, got the wheels of the chariots fell off. So they decide they need to get out of there, the Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says, Vayasar Sefa Ofen Markavosa, Vayanagio Bechvedos, and then okay, then Moshe sticks his hand back on the sea. Okay, this is also important. Where was Klal Yisrael when this happened? So they were not, like you may have pictured in your head, already out of the sea, says the Sforno. They were still in the sea. So what happened was that the sea came, like where the sea had split at the opening, where the Jews had gone, and then the Mitzrayim followed, that closed. And so when Mitzrayim was escaping, running away, they ran right into the river. So that's Pasuk Chav Zayim, Eit Moshez Yidol Layom, Vayashav Am Lefnav Spoke Leisa. No, it went back to where it had been, meaning at the crack. Mitzrayim Nosam Lekrosa, and the Mitzrayim who are trying to escape, they're running right into it. Now, this is while it still stays split for the Jews who are still in there. Still split for the Jews in there, and it's unsplit for the Mitzrayim who are trying to get out of there, because where it opened to start with, that's where it's sealed. And then the Mitzrayim get tossed around, the people on chariots get thrown off into the Yam. So that works, you know, better with the Pashup Shant, the words. It says, Ve'yeshuva mayim ve'yechasu es rechav ha'parashim. The water came back and it, you know, drowned the Mitzrayim. And the next pasuk says, Ve'bnei Yisrael ha'chavah ye'yavashim so'chayam. At the same time, concurrently, while the Jews were still walking in Yabash in the middle of the sea, the Mitzrayim being drowned on the other side of the sea. And then it says, Ve'yosh Hashem ha'yim ha'yim ha'yisrael, Klal Yisrael was saved that day, because as long as the Mitzrayim were around, they were just like escaped slaves. Once the Mitzrayim were gone, then they were truly free. Okay, then we have Az Yashar. I'm not going to say much from that, but he has the Elokei Avi, Aron Mimeno, what's Elokei Avi? So Rashi says three of us, right? So the Sforno says Elokei Avi, specifically Yaakov, the God of Yaakov, who was represented Midas Arachamim, Midas Adin. That's Kel, who understood that Yaakov said, Kael Elokei Yisrael, which is Midas Rachamim, Midas Adin. And that's what they were talking about in the Yom Sof. Similarly, the next pasuk, Hashem ish melchama, Hashem shemo, that even though Hashem is midas adin, Hashem ish melchama, but Hashem is also Hashem shemo, which is he's still merciful with the shame yud gei vavkei. Now, this is interesting. How does the shame yud gei vavkei translate to midas rachamim here? It says the Sfarno, because shame havayim means gives metzias to the world. So when he gets rid of rishayim, so then it gives metzias to the world, because sometimes you need to get rid of the bad for the thing, for everything else to continue to exist. Then, what's interesting is throughout Az Yashir, he says all these things that sound like the future are all tefilos. So when it says in Pasuk Vav, Yimincha Hashem Nedari Bakoach, Yimincha Hashem Tirat Oyev, so Yimincha Hashem Nedari Bakoach is to say Hashem, you wage the war, and Yimincha Hashem Tirat Oyev in the future. I quote you his lashon, Yehi Ratzon, Sheyi Akein La'asid. It's a davening. Hashem Tirat Oyev, Hashem, you should in the future destroy all of Klal Yisrael's enemies. And again, throughout this Az Yashir, he has the three groups. There's the Markavos Paro Vechelo, that's the main army. The Mivcha Shalishav, those are the special forces, those are the strong army that are the, he says is the ikar of the army. And then there's the real schleppers. Amar Oyev Erdov Hosei Gechalik Shalal, the schleppers that are just there to pick up the leftover booty and gold. And then kind of similarly about its feeling about the future, it says, Oz Nivhulu Alafei Adom, Elei Moav, Yochazei Morad. Future. So he said, the Alufei Adam and Eli Moav, who shouldn't have been afraid because Klal Yisrael was not supposed to come against them, they were afraid anyway, they were freaked out. And Yochazei Morad is a tefila. I'm reading his words. Yehiratzon sheYochazei Morad, they should be afraid and they shouldn't mess with us. And then Nabogo Koyesh Vechanan, but of course the hearts of Canaan melted because everybody knew they were coming for them. And then again, future. Tipol Aleim Yemosav Avacha. That's a Yehiratzon sheTipol Aleim Yemosav. They should be afraid. And then they should be afraid Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem until we pass the river, because the river, passing the river is very dangerous. Once they pass the rivers, then it'll be safer. Okay, then at the end of it says, if you keep, right, when they leave, it says, if you keep the mitzvos, no bad things will happen to you, Kani Hashem Rofecha. So the Sfarno just gives a little bit of a muster vote over here, that if you're Mekabel the Torah, so then your neshama becomes Hashem's, we become Klai as well, and our neshama becomes more delicate and holier and more special, and therefore the mitzvos are there to heal the nefesh. All of the Torah mitzvos is to make the nefesh be able to connect to Hashem. But if a person sins, so then their nefesh gets messed up. And ra'oi sheyeh anish mishi chalas kadosh Hashem. And it's punishment should come on the person who ruins what God loves, meaning Hashem loves our neshama. Us, our neshama, if we ruin our neshama, so we're right for punishment, because Hashem made it, wants it to reach its potential. He just says, the Pasuk Vechinu says, Sheyaviu, that they should prepare for Shabbos. He says, La'or sheyus dares la'aning Shabbos b'matamim. They should prepare matamim for Shabbos, and everything has to be, of course, from Erev Shabbos. Then in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Vav and Zayin, it says, Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, Erev yidatem ki Hashem hotzi etchem mi'eretz Mitzrayim. This is fascinating. Pashut Pshat, obviously, that means at night you will see that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Now, how are you going to see at night? Meaning, this is them, they're going to have mun fall in the morning and meat at night. So, Erev yidatem ki Hashem hotzi etchem mi'eretz Mitzrayim. What is in the world that's supposed to mean? Now you're going to know when the meat comes and the mun falls that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. So the Sfarno says something amazing. This is to teach you, this is that you should know that you've been taken out of Mitzrayim, meaning fully, not just your bodies, but your minds. You're out of their culture. In their culture, people just eat when they want to eat. They're like behemoths, always stuffing their faces. No set time for Suda. And you're going to be Yidden. And Yidden have a time for Suda. There's a time for Suda and there's a not time for Suda. You don't just eat whenever you find some food and you just decide to stuff yourself. Rather, you're going to have a Zman Suda, which is interesting for us Americans who kind of live a little bit like that. Not exactly like that. We don't just have a Hefker, but there is a general time for Suda. But anyway, this is apparently a real concept that you shouldn't be like a behemoth. You eat to live, not live to eat. So you have a special time. It's the Gemara in Yuma on the Fayin Hayom Abay. It says that Bechila Hayu Yisrael Domin Ketarna Golem Shem Menachrim Ba'ashba used to be like chickens. And Shabbat Moshe Bekavalem Zman Suda until Moshe came and gave them as a time for a Suda. And that's when you eat and not other times. So you'll have Basar at night, not Lasova, because a person shouldn't eat meat Lasova. But you'll have in the Boker, you'll have then you'll have lechem lasova. Okay, then just explaining when they collect the omer, it says, you should get everybody the amount of food they need, omer lagogolus, and omer per person. So you could have, you could take a little, you could take a lot. In other words, you have one guy collecting for the whole family, each person collecting for themselves, it doesn't matter. Everyone should get an omer lagogolus. Okay, and Moshe told him, don't leave anything over Ad Boker. Don't leave anything over to the next morning. And they didn't leave Ad Boker. And it got ruined. And then Moshe got angry at them. So the Sforno just explains he got angry because not because they were so stuffed, they had no more room for more. They left it over on purpose to test it. And that's why Moshe got angry. Then Zavilko to Osoba Boker Boker, they'd gathered each morning, each and then the sun would come out and ruin and destroy it. In other words, you'd have to collect it early in the morning. And then, because if you left it out in the sun, it would melt and get ruined and get wormy or whatever, get ruined. Okay, then Moshe tells them, don't go collecting on Shabbos because nothing's going to rain on Shabbos. And it says, the people went out to go gather and they did not find. So Rashi says, Yatsuminam, not Rashi, I'm sorry, the Sforno says, Yatsuminam means that they left the Machana. They went far away because they thought, okay, there's no mun here. Maybe this mun fell further out because they didn't trust, they didn't believe. And so they didn't succeed because there was no mun to be found. But had they found mun, he said it would have been Chol Shabbos. Why? This is the one you may not have expected. Because it would be Tolesh. Got that? Obviously, it did not grow from the ground. However, he makes it sound like it would be Chayiv on Shabbos anyway. Just like he says, if you are Tolish plants that do not appear to grow from the ground, like the Gemara says in Kubzayin Amid Beis in Shabbos, Hayman the Tolish Kshusa, Mehizmi Behigi, Mechuyev Mishum Oker Dover Migidulo. So there, Rashi explains, Kshusa is usually thought of as hops, but it's probably some. Possibly, anyway, some plant that grows around hops. That does not appear to grow from the ground. It's called a dudder or something. Whatever it is, some plant that appears to not grow from the ground. And yet, you're chayev, mishum oker davar migidulo. Kind of like a mushroom concept that it does not appear to grow from the ground. I mean, mushrooms don't, they grow, they're fungi, but anyway, that type of thing. It does not appear to grow from the ground, and yet it's called tolish anyway. So apparently he says the mun is the same thing. It did not grow on the ground. From the ground, if it fell from the sky, but it would be tolish to pick it up anyway, besides the hotzah. Okay, then we have the story with the war with Amalek, and Moshe took up his stick with him, and what did he need the stick for? Right, after all, Moshe wasn't doing anything with the stick, he was just stuck up his hands to daven. So the Sfarnos pshat in that is, it was like to tell people when he's davening, like he says, like in Alexandria, they would wave in the super huge shul where people couldn't hear the chazan, they would wave flags for people to know when to daven. That was what the stick was there for, to wave people, let them know it's time to daven with him. And it says that they fought against Ve'achalosh Yoshua's Amalek Ves Amo. Who's Amo? So the Sfarno says it means the other people that came to join Amalek. That's Es Amo. And the other people came to join fighting Chol Yisrael. Okay, that's it.